dear listeners, we, Radio Our Queen of Peace, would like to introduce to you a testimony of Miss Gloria Polo, a Colombian dentist who died and returned. Mark Stedman is reading from chapter 1 to chapter 4 of the testimony.
The Testimony of Gloria Polo. Gloria Polo died after being horribly burned by a lightning bolt on May 5, 1995, in Bogota, Colombia. She was judged and then came back to life. This is her testimony. I am publishing this copy of the testimony of Gloria Polo so that it might arrive to as many people as possible. The title of this booklet is From Illusion to the Truth. There are many people, like Gloria Polo, that are under the illusion to be okay according to their own conscience, formed by their own personal criteria, or according to the criteria of the world and those around them, or according to the criteria of the devil, but not according to the criteria of God. That is, according to the truth. This is the fundamental deception of Satan from the beginning of humanity and always. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. We human beings are truly adept and ingenious at deceiving ourselves, willingly, and then forgetting about it so easily. Pope Pius VII and John Paul II said that the greatest sin is to believe that there is no sin and to have lost the sense of sin. This is the great trap of today for countless souls. Today, few people go to Mass every Sunday, and among these, few go to confession regularly. I prefer to know the truth while I am still alive, even if the truth is strong to provoke in me a great uneasiness or to even cause me to enter into crisis. If God offers me this great gift of truth while I am alive, even in a brisk way like a shock, a lightning bolt, I am still in time to make a good confession and change my life. After death, one cannot change anything for all of eternity. Just as for the angels, one instant after their creation and eternal decision. I think that this testimony is a gift from God precisely for our times. So extraordinary. I believe that this testimony will help many people of goodwill who are not afraid to confront themselves with the truth, so as to convert themselves to the truth and begin to live a new and fulfilling life with Jesus Christ. For us Catholics, it will help us to make a good examination of conscience and then a good sacramental confession. There is already translated into English a short testimony that Gloria Polo gave to Radio Maria in Colombia, www.gloriapolo.net. The following testimony instead was given on May 5, 2005 in Caracas, Venezuela. It is much more complete than the one given to Radio Maria in Colombia, and so one is able to enter into to understand better the special experience of Gloria Polo, which I believe is a true gift from God for so many people today who, like Gloria Polo, before her unpleasant incident, have fallen into a fundamental trap of Satan to believe they are good and holy according to their freely embraced illusion and criteria from themselves, the world, or Satan, but not according to the truth. Perhaps one could summarize this trap with the words of Pope Benedict XVI, the tyranny of relativism. This is the live testimony of Gloria Polo, medical dentist in a church in Caracas, Venezuela, May 5, 2005. I was at the gates of heaven and of hell. From the preface of the Portuguese edition, this testimony of Gloria Polo fell into my hands by the way of a good friend, of who I am a good friend. When I read this story, I felt the obligation to put it in writing. The realities of faith which one finds are recounted and already part of my knowledge, but I did not want to let fall so much truth. And so I decided to ask the protagonist of the story permission to write this experience. The booklet that you are about to read does not contain anything more or nothing less than that which one finds in sacred scriptures. But given the fact that many do not succeed in seeing the truth of after death, God causes someone to experience and to live this more of which the Bible speaks. This someone is Gloria Polo, who returning in this life became like a light of reality which regards everyone. I hope that this testimony of Gloria Polo might help you in your search for the truth. This booklet wants to simply show you a live reality that you might ignore, even though you might know about it, at least in part, if in some way you might practice the word of truth called the Bible. Father Macchiato, Society of Jesus. Introduction. If someone might doubt or think that God does not exist, that life beyond is something from the films, or that with death all ends, do yourself a favor and read this testimony. But read it from beginning to the end. Surely your opinion, perhaps the most skeptical, will change. We are dealing here with something that really occurred. Gloria Polo is a woman that died. She passed into the other world and returns precisely to give her testimony to the incredulous. God gives us many proofs, but we always deny his existence. Gloria Polo actually lives in Colombia. She continues to exercise some of the same profession that she had before this event. She remained with enormous scars, but she has a normal life. This difference is that now she is a woman with great faith. She travels a lot in order to give her testimony to thousands of people, fulfilling the mission that God confided to her. She is authorized from the part of this church. This is a transcription of one of her testimonies given in a church in Caracas, Venezuela, May 5, 2005. It is translated from Spanish original version. It is authentic. It is not fake. Padre Leon Orlando. This English version was translated from Italian translation of Padre Orlando with the acknowledgement and encouragement of Gloria Polo by Father Joseph Dwight. Chapter 1. The Testimony of Gloria Polo. Good morning, brothers. It is wonderful for me to be here to share with you this gift so beautiful that the Lord gave me. That which I am about to recount to you happened on May 5, 1995, at National University of Bogota, starting from 4:30 p.m. I am a dentist. I and my 23-year-old cousin, who is also a dentist, were studying in order to get the specialization. On that day, which was a Friday, about 4:30 p.m., we were walking together with my husband toward the facility of dentistry to find some books that we needed. With my cousin, I walked under a small umbrella while my husband wore a raincoat to shelter himself better, as he was walking near a wall of the great general library. We two were jumping puddles from side to side in order to avoid the wet while staying close to the trees. When we jumped over a rather large puddle, we were hit by a lightning bolt which left us both carbonized. My cousin died immediately. The lightning bolt entered from behind, burning him inside tonally, and came out through his feet, leaving him intact externally. Notwithstanding his young age, he was a very religious young man. He had a great devotion for baby Jesus, and he always carried around his neck his image, a quartz medal. The authority says that it was the quartz that attracted the lightning bolt to my cousin, because it entered into the heart, burning everything. Remaining intact externally, he immediately had a cardiac arrest, which he did not respond to attempts of reanimation by the doctors, and he died on the spot. As for me, the lightning bolt entered my shoulder, burning terribly the whole body, inside and out. In short, my flesh disappeared, including my breasts, especially the left one, leaving a hole. It caused to disappear the flesh of my abdomen, of my legs, of the ribs. It carbonized the liver. It gravely burned the kidneys, the lungs, the ovaries. It came out through the right foot. For my contraceptive, I was using a spiral IUD device in the form of a T. It became of the material with which it was made, copper. It was a good conductor of electricity. The lightning bolt carbonized and pulverized also the ovaries, which became like two raisins. I remained in cardiac arrest, just about without life, with the body that was jumping due to the electricity that was still present in that place. This body that you see here now, this reconstructed body, is the fruit of the mercy of our Lord. Chapter 2, The Other World. But this is only the physical part. The good part is that while my body lay there carbonized, in that same moment I found myself inside a beautiful white tunnel of light, a wonderful light, which made me feel joy, a peace, a happiness that I do not have words to describe the greatness of that moment. It was a true ecstasy. I looked, and at the end of the tunnel I saw a white light, like a sun, a beautiful light. I say white to tell you a color, but we are talking about colors that cannot be compared to those that exist on this earth. It was a splendid light. I felt it a source of peace, of love, of light. When I went up in this tunnel toward the light, I said to myself, "Caramba, I am dead." And also I thought about my children inside. "Woe is me, my God, my little children. What will my children say? This mother so occupied that she never had time for them. In fact, I left early every morning and did not return before 11 at night. And I also saw the reality of my life. I felt much sadness. I had left my home determined to conquer the world. But at what price? Putting in the second place, my home and my children. In that moment of emptiness due to the absence of my children, without feeling any more my body, nor the dimension of time nor space, I looked and I saw something very beautiful. I saw all of the people of my life. In one single moment, in the same moment, all the people, those living and those dead. I was able to embrace my grandparents, my great-grandparents, my parents, who are dead, everyone. At that moment of fullness, wonderful. I understood that I had deceived myself with the story of reincarnation. They had told me that my grandmother had been reincarnated, but without telling me where. Since the information cost me too much money, I let it go. I did not delve into the research in order to know in whom she might have been reincarnated. You know, I defended the theory of reincarnation. And now, there, I just embraced my grandmother. My great-grandmother. I embraced her well, as I could do with all people who I knew, living and dead. All in one single moment. My daughter, when I embraced her, became frightened. She was 9 years old, and she felt my embrace, because I could also embrace the living. Only that normally we do not feel this embrace. I almost did not realize the passage of time during that moment so beautiful. And then now, that I no longer had the body, it was stupendous to see people in a whole new way. Before, in fact, I only knew how to criticize. If one was fat, skinny, ugly, elegant, not elegant, etc. When I spoke about others, I had to always criticize something. Now, no. Now I see people from within. I know how beautiful it was while I embraced them. I saw their thoughts, their sentiments. So I continued to go forward, full of peace, happy. And the more I went up, the more I felt I was about to see something very beautiful. In fact, toward the bottom, I sighted a beautiful lake. Yes, I see a stupendous lake, trees so beautiful, but so beautiful, wonderful, and very beautiful flowers in all colors with an exquisite perfume, so different from our flowers. Everything was so beautiful in that stupendous garden, so wonderful. Words do not exist that can describe it. All was love. There were two trees to the side of something that seemed to be an entrance. It is all so different from what we know down here. You cannot find in similar colors of the world. Up here it is all so beautiful. It was in that moment that my cousin entered in that wonderful garden. I knew, I felt that I must not, I could not enter here. Chapter 3. The First Return. In that same instant, I hear the voice of my husband. He laments and cries with profound sentiment and cries, "Gloria, Gloria, please do not leave me. Look at your children. Your children need you. Gloria, go back, go back. Do not be a coward. Return." I heard everything. I saw him cry with much pain. Alas, in that moment, our Lord granted me to leave. But I did not want to return. That peace in which I was wrapped and fascinated. But slowly, slowly, I began to descend toward my own body, which I found without life. I saw it lifeless on a stretcher of the National Nursing University. I saw the doctors who were giving me electric shocks to my body to pull me out of cardiac arrest. I and my cousin remained more than 2 hours laid on the ground because our bodies were giving off electric discharges and they could not be touched. Only when the electric discharge was completely discharged, they could help us. And then they began the attempts to reanimate me. I looked. I rested at the feet of my soul. Also, the soul has a human form. My head made a spark, and with a violence, I entered my body. It seemed to suck me inside. It was an immense pain to enter. There came out sparks from all over. I felt myself jammed into something very small, my body. It was as if my body, with this weight and stature, suddenly entered into a baby's outfit, but of iron. It was a terrible suffering. I felt the intense pain of my burned flesh. The body totally burned, caused an indescribable pain. It was blazing, terribly. It gave off smoke and vapor. I heard the doctors cry out, "She is coming back! She is coming back!" They were very happy, but my suffering was indescribable. My legs were frightfully black. There was live flesh on the body and on the arms. The problem of the legs was complicated when they considered the possibility of amputating them. But for me, there was another terrible pain. The vanity of a worldly woman, an enterprising woman, intellectually the student, slave to the body, to beauty, to the fashion. I dedicated 4 hours every day to aerobics, enslaved to having a beautiful body. I underwent massages, diets, injections, basically everything you can imagine. This was my life, a routine of slavery in order to have a beautiful body. I always used to say, if I have beautiful breasts, they are to show them. Why hide them? I said the same thing about my legs, because I knew I had spectacular legs, nice abdominal muscles. But in an instant, I saw with horror how my whole life had been only a continual and useless care of the body. Because this was the center of my life, love for my body. And now, I no longer had a body. In the place of my breasts, I had startling holes, especially the left one, which was practically gone. Legs were a sight to be seen, like fragments without flesh, black as coal. Note, the parts of the body that I took care of and esteemed the most were the ones that were completely burned and literally without flesh. Chapter 4. At the Hospital. They then brought me to the social Sergio, where it's where they operated on me immediately and began to remove all the burned tissue. While they were anesthetizing me, I again came out of my body, worried about my leg, when all of a sudden, in that same moment, terrible and horrible. But first I must tell you something, brothers. I was a dietetic or cafeteria Catholic. I was for my whole life because my relationship with God was taken care of in a 25-minute Sunday Mass, and that's all. I went to the Mass where the priest spoke less because I got tired. What anguish I felt with those priests who spoke a lot. This was my relationship with God. For this all, the worldly currents dragged me along. I lacked the protection of prayer, well done with faith, even in the Mass. One day, I was studying for the specialization. I heard a priest affirm that hell does not exist, and not even the demons. It was precisely what I wanted to hear. I immediately thought to myself, if the demons do not exist, and there is no hell, then we all go to heaven. And thus, what is there to fear? What makes me most sad now, and I confess to you with great shame, is that the only tie that still held me in the church was the fear of the devil. When I heard that hell does not exist, I immediately said, very good. If we all go to heaven, it is not important what we are or what we do. This determined my total moving away from the Lord. I distanced myself from the church and began to speak badly with cuss words, etc. I no longer had any fear of sin. I began to ruin my relationship with God. I began to say to everyone that demons do not exist, that they are inventions of the priest, that they are manipulations on part of the church. And finally, I arrived to the point of saying to my colleagues at the university, God does not exist, that we were products of evolution, etc., etc., succeeding in influencing many people. Let us return now to the operating room. When I saw myself in that situation, what a terrible fright. I finally saw that demons existed and how they came to seek precisely me. They came to present me the bill. No one could say, since I had accepted their offers of sin. And those offers are not free. One pays. My sins had their consequences. In that moment, I began to see coming out of the wall of the operating room so many persons, apparently common, normal, but with a look full of hate, diabolic, frightening, who made my soul tremble. I immediately perceived that we were dealing with demons. I had in myself a special awareness. I understood, in fact, that each one of these I owed something, that sin is not gratuitous, that it is the principal lie of the devil, and that is to say that he does not exist. This is his best strategy in order to work as he pleases within us. I realized that, yes, he exists, and that he came to surround me, to seek me. Just imagine the fright, the terror. My scientific and intellectual mind did not know how to help me at all. I went around in the room. I was trying to get back into my body, but the flesh of mine did not receive me, and the scare was terrible. I ended up fleeing as fast as I could. I passed through, I don't know how, the wall of the operating room, hoping to be able to hide myself in the aisles of the hospital. But when I passed the wall, down, I made a jump into emptiness. I headed towards several tunnels, which I went down toward the bottom. At the beginning, there was still a little light, like beehives, and there are so many people, young ones, old ones, men, women, who were crying with frightening screams. They were grinding their teeth, and I, ever more terrified, continued to descend, seeking to get out of there. While the light was going away, diminishing, I carried on roaming in these tunnels in frightening darkness until I arrived at an obscurity that cannot be compared to anything else. I can only say that, in comparison, the darkest obscurity on earth is not even comparable to the full sunlight at midday. Down there, that same obscurity generates pain, horror, shame, and stinks terribly. It is a living obscurity. Yes, it is alive. There, the mind is dead or inert. At the end of my descent, running along all of those tunnels, I arrived to a level place. I was frantic. Without will of iron to get out of there, the same will would have to ascend in life. But now, it did not help me at all, because I was there, and there I remained. At a certain point, I saw the ground open up like a great mouth, enormous. It was alive, alive. I felt my body empty, empty in a starving way, and under me an incredible, frightening abyss, horrible. That which chilled me the most was that from there down, you did not feel even a little love of God, not even a little drop of hope. That chasm had something that sucked me into it. I cried out like a madwoman, terrorized, feeling the horror of not being able to avoid the descent, because I realized that I was inevitably sliding inside. I knew that if I might enter, I would not have it all but remained there. But I would have continued to descend without ever being able to come back up. It was this, the spiritual death of my soul. The spiritual death of the soul. I was irretrievably lost forever. But in this horror so great, precisely while I was about to enter, Saint Michael, the archangel, seized me by the feet. My body entered in the abyss, but my feet remained held on high. It was a terrible moment, and truly painful. When I arrived there, the light that was still left in my spirit annoyed those demons, all of those horrifying, unclean beings that dwell there, immediately attacked me. Those horrible beings, like larvae, like bloodsuckers, they were trying to block off the light. Imagine the horror in seeing myself covered by such creatures. I was crying out like a madwoman. Those things were burning. Brothers, they are living darkness. It is a hate that burns, which devours us, which makes us naked. There are not words to describe that horror.